Psalm 126. And we can read from verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamt. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, and the stream in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Isaiah chapter 32, please. Isaiah chapter 32. And just verse 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. And the last reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. They're well-known scriptures to each one of us, I'm sure. Verse 4. Chapter 11 of verse 4 of Ecclesiastes. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what shall be, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones of do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who make it all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. And like I said, I'm sure those scriptures are well known to each one of us. But too often, I believe, they're just referred to as more like an experience that we know in other men's life. But as I think about the scriptures this morning, and even when I thought about it last night, I thought how true it is as we look back over the work in hand. Now, first of all, I think when we think about sowing, we think about the days in which we are living. But if you look back in the times in history that's passed, we think how the time of sowing was very difficult. It meant that the farmer had to go out in cold weather, early in the spring, break up the field, and sometimes, indeed, in troubles and difficulties, had to do the sowing. And so it is as we think about the work of the Lord. We often think about it as harvest time. And of course, it's nice when we think about how souls are brought in, how souls are getting saved. But we forget often there is a time of sowing. And we all like the harvest time when we can bring in the fruits of the land. I think back in the times when I heard some farmers talk yesterday, and they were talking about their crops and how much they had per acreage. And it's nice to hear how greater the crop, how more joy there is. But on the other hand, when there is a time of sowing, it is a difficult time. Now I would say that as we look back in the work in Holland, that we had times, thank God, of great harvest. There were times when souls were saved, and quite a few were brought into fellowship. As I look back over the 10 years that we had in Holland, we can say that, like we have been reading this morning, the Lord has done great things for us, and therefore we are glad. But on the other hand, there is a great danger that we keep meditating on the past. That we come back from Holland and maybe tell stories about salvation and are really not up to date. We have done it in the past, and thank God in those times it was true. We saw God moving in a mighty way. Souls did get saved. And each story, as we have heard this morning, of a soul that got saved, is a story in itself. It gives us joy to think about it. It gives us joy today, as we can say, that those that have professed salvation, those that came out of the world, are baptized and in fellowship in the assemblies. But you know, we have to also to realize that if we want the saints to pray intelligently for the work in Holland, it is good that you know what's going on, not when that happened 4 or 5 years ago, but even in the years that have gone by, or the last year. I want to ask a question this morning, and it may be searching or heart-searching for each one of us. I was up in Richmond, and afterwards said, how long ago was it that you wrote a letter to a missionary? Now, that's not my question this morning. I would like to ask the question, how long was it that you prayed for the missionaries? And how long ago was it that you prayed for the missionaries in Holland? You know, it gives us joy to think often, as we are in the work, that there are those at home who, without a question of a doubt, are praying for us. We know one man, Brother Ingram, that passed away, and I believe he always used to pray for us. And it gave us joy. And I know there are others as well. But brothers and sisters, we need prayer, especially in Europe. As we have been listening to missionary work out in maybe Africa, Venezuela, Japan. And we think about Europe, and often is the thought, well, those are countries that heard the gospel so often, and they know it all. But let us put it this way this morning. It is true, like even from Holland, that it used to be a very God-fearing country. And still there is lots of religion. But it seems because of that Satan is working overtime. It is not getting any easier. It seems to be getting harder all the time. And while other lands are enjoying blessing, we do have to confess that in Holland for the last couple of years, hardly a soul got saved. That's very sad, but that's the truth. And therefore I ask for prayer. When we came back a year ago, in the year and a half that we had been away, just one soul had professed salvation. And this was a young man who had made a profession before. And we knew there was nothing in it. And thank God he got saved. Well, I should say there was another man. He was a relative of Brother Van de Krak. But we have never seen him after he professed salvation. And we don't know where he is today. And in the last year that has gone by, we had tent meetings, we had gospel meetings in different halls, and no soul so far has professed salvation. That's exactly how it stands. Now, we can say this morning, in Holland, it is no difficulty to preach the gospel. Sometimes it has been asked, is it hard to get permits to place the tent? Well, we never had one case yet that I can think of, that we applied for a permit for tent meetings, that we were turned down. There is freedom of religion. There is no problem in pitching the tent anywhere. But of course, putting up the tent and getting the sinner out to listen to the gospel is a different story. We had times in the past that if you could get 2 or 3 unsaved out in the tent, we were very thankful. The reason for this is because people are religious. They will go to the church or they go nowhere. But they never will go hardly to a tent or gospel meeting in the tent because they don't want to be seen by neighbors as going to a place of religion that's beside the church. It's just like Roman Catholicism or Protestantism. It makes no difference. They're tied up in tradition and religion. They fear to be seen by others to go to gospel meeting. But on the other hand, there is a bright note that I can tell you today. I don't know why, I cannot explain it. But thank God, the last summer that we had in tent meeting, the first series we had was in a place called Schoonhorn, up in the north. And I want to say this, there was a mistake made by the brethren, I believe. And I think the reason for it was because they were used to hardly nobody coming out to the tent meetings. They applied for a permit for 2 weeks. And they had four different places. The one was Schoonhorn. The other was Dedensvaart. There was a Nieuweroord, another place. And the last one was a place called Hollandsevel. Now what they had done, this was done when I was away, they had asked for 2 weeks for gospel meetings, a permit, in each place. And in place of leaving time in between, the one series was finished, and so we had to move on to the other one. Now, when we started off in Schoonhorn this spring, the first week, hardly just like normal, nobody came. But in the second week, people started to come. And on the end of the second week, we had the joy of seeing sometimes 12 to 14 unbelievers, strangers, coming out to the tent. Now, I believe one of the reasons was that young people in the assembly there had started children's meetings and had done visiting. And because of that, they had come out to the children's street on the Christmas time and they had heard the gospel being preached. And because of the faithfulness of those young brethren, some of those people had come to listen when there was that Christmas tree and now came to the tent meeting. Another reason for it was, I believe, there wasn't church, or there is a church there in Schoonhorn, and it is a Christian Reformed church, and there was a preacher, and without a doubt, I have met him before, he was a true born-again believer. We had good visits with him before, and the man was trying to preach the gospel in the church. And of course, you know what happened when that's done. There became a division. And this preacher was taken away. They had placed him someplace else. But those that were kind of accepting that what he was teaching had separated himself from it and had gathered in another place. And now they were free or willing to come to the gospel meetings in the tent. So the second week, those people started to come. And they asked for us to carry on. And sad to say, we had to stop because we only had a permit for 2 weeks. That was not because that we were not allowed, but that's the way the brethren had arranged that. Then the second 2 weeks that we had tent meetings was in Dedensvaart. And we hardly got nobody just like before out. Nobody came except two or three young people once for an evening, and that was all. And so that was a real disappointment. Maybe you should say, well, we should have stayed in the other place, but when we did not know. Then we moved on to another place in Nieuweroord, and the first week the same thing happened. And the second week, people started to come. So we got encouraged. This place was not too far from the last one where we pitched the tent in the place called Hollandsevel. Now, I want to say this. Very likely, most of you that have had any interest in the work of Holland in the past know that when Brother Persma was out in Holland about 20 years ago, he was in fellowship in an assembly in Hollandsevel. That's where he was for about 6 or 7 years. He tried to work from that place to reach the people, and God blessed his labors. Souls were getting saved and were brought in fellowship in the assembly. But it's just like always, where God works, Satan works. In the assembly, which was an old assembly, There were those people who had been leading to the open line of teaching. The sisters were taking part. They were very often not covered in the meeting. And so when our brother tried to brought those things before them, they started to change. But some, of course, came up in rebellion. After Brother Luswan went, and he kind of confirmed what Brother Burspa had been teaching, then there was more opposition than ever. In such a way that Brother Swan had to leave and went to another assembly, as we have been talking about, Schoonoord, where we had the meeting. Then later on, Brother Burspa left the assembly when Dangerous Part was started, and this assembly went over to the open line of meetings, over to the open line of meetings. Now I want to say this, that through the years, I have tried to stay in contact with some of the elders of that assembly. Because some of those men I knew were seeking for the truth. But because of the others in the assembly, they were not able to hold a standard ground. And so they kind of went along with them as the assembly departed more and more to the open line. But still, I tried to influence them all the time as we had visits together. Now, I say this, that just before we left, about a year and a half ago, it's 2 years now, when we left Holland, we had a meeting with one of the elders, and he in sorrow confessed that he was on the wrong path and that he had a desire to come back to be in fellowship with in the assemblies. But he said, I got to wait the time of the Lord. And he prayed. And God worked. God took those men, as we just have been hearing, a man that has been backsliding or away from God, walking in disobedience. He took this man away in an accident. It was special, him and his wife in the assembly, who said, I will never, never bow to the teaching of those brethren. That's very dangerous. It's the thing of it that when God can have patience with weakness, but when it comes to willful disobedience, then we become on dangerous ground. This man said, I will never bow. One day he left home, and he had an accident. God took him away. Then, of course, his wife changed. She did listen. She kept silence in the assembly. But there were still others there that didn't want to bow or accept the teaching of the elder. But what happens later on, one by one, they left the assembly and went to the denominational churches until there was only a small number left. And they came together. And they said, well, we want to go back to where we started. When I came back last spring in Holland, we got a phone call and they asked us for a meeting. And after that we had the meeting together, thank God, this assembly now has been restored in full fellowship with us. So we can be thankful, while there was no salvation of souls in the past, God worked in restoration. And this assembly now, thank God, is in good fellowship. And some that had left the assembly and had come to Dedensvaart have now returned and are in full fellowship in this place. Now, when we pitched the tent in that place, Hollandsevel, the first week we had, as we have the tent meetings in Holland, we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And when we started the tent meetings in that place, the first week there was a few coming. But it grew, and thank God, in the last week, we had at least 30 to 35 unbelievers, strangers, coming to the tent meetings. Something that we haven't seen for years. It seems like God is working in the place. Restoration has found place. Christians have been restored. And we see now God is working. So you see, that's why I read the scriptures in Psalm 126. A time of sowing. Thank God there are those contacts left from the tent meeting. Man, and a special one, man and his son. His son had a nervous breakdown about a year ago. But the way it is now, they are really interested in getting saved. We just had a letter today, and we heard about this man and his family coming out to the gospel meetings every week now to this place called Hollandseveld. And from the meetings that we had, all the contacts were made. And so, thank God, we look forward that God might come in again and you might see a time of blessing and of reaping. But brethren and sisters, how much we need the prayers of the believers? Because even the last year, I had to say this when I came last time, we could say faithfully that from all those that were saved and added to the assembly, that none, no case of discipline we could refer to. But in the last year and a half, there's about 6 different cases, and about 4 with young people who had fallen in sin. You see, Satan is working, but thank God those that are saved, most of them, are going on very faithful in the assembly. Now, when we went back to Holland last year, we didn't know exactly where to go to. The only thing is we had in mind to go to the south part of Holland. Now, very likely most of you know that in Holland there's 15 million people, and most of the greatest part of the population is more on the coastal area. Dedensvaart and Hollandseveld and Schoonoord are more in the north. Schoonoord is about an assembly that's there already for at least 80 years. Dedensvaart was the first new assembly planted in Holland, and that has been there now for at least 12 or 13 years. But the new assemblies that had been started were in the south part of Holland, more in the coastal area, Ridderkerk and Tholen. Now Ridderkerk has been there for about 4 or 5 years, 5 years ago when that assembly started. In the assembly, God did a mighty work. Souls were getting saved. And in different ways, they were brought into the assembly fellowship. And we can say, thank God today, they're going on very, very faithful. So when we came back to Holland this spring, we had an exercise to move to the south part of Holland. But it's hard for us to find a place to rent. As a matter of fact, there is hardly a house for rent in Holland. More to the north, where there's not so many people living, is easier. But when it comes to the south, it is very hard. So we looked around, and we inquired about different places, and at last we found a place in a place called Ridderkerk, where deep in our hearts we had the greatest exercise to go. The only reason was we had only so much money to buy a place. And we prayed to God that He would open the way where we should go and the place to be found. When we found this place, the home, the house we're in now, that was exactly, there was about $30,000 more than we paid for it, what they asked. But because we had that money to spend, we offered them that amount of money, and it was accepted. First of all, when we saw the place and others came to see it, they couldn't understand it. How we could buy a place like that for that amount of money that we had. And we were very thankful. But you see, God was working behind the scene and we didn't know. Apparently what has happened was this. We're living in a street. And it's about a block of 7 houses joined together. And the house that we were interested in was the second house from the corner. Then there was a house where a lady was living with a son. The house on the other side was empty as well. We never really stopped to think about it, why it was that a house on each side of this place was empty and that nobody had moved in. We found out later that when we moved into the house, someone came over. And he said, well, you got a nice house here, but you know, he says, those people that are living beside you, those are people that are just like hippies. And they had about 126 or 136 cats. And he said, well, you know what that means? He said that was every day that the people were plagued with cats in the garden. But you know, God took care of that because about 4 weeks later when we lived there, one morning a great moving van pulled up and men came out and they moved the homeworks out of that house and the cats and everything disappeared. And then the other house was sold and thank God we have a nice place now. See, God is able to work, you know. even if we don't know how sometimes, and even it was done without our knowledge. So that's why we found our place this spring. And we thought to put all our effort now in the work here in Ridderkerk. Now, Tolen is the last new assembly that we have seen planted, and they have it very hard. Those brethren are only saved 5 years ago, and they're very responsible brother. One brother there especially, before he was saved, he called himself a devil worshipper. His wife had a nervous breakdown, and I likely have told the story before, but when we met him, through the preaching of the word and the Bible readings we had in his house, his wife got saved. Then later on, he got saved, and others that were in the assembly there now today. But this poor man, he had a bad sickness. They took away about 3/4 of the intestines, and we don't know why, but God had hard dealings with him. Yet we can say he's a faithful brother. But as they're living in a part of Holland there, in the south, it's very Calvinistic. It's a hard part to work. Those young brethren have been very faithful. There hasn't been a house on that island where they're living in that has not been visited with the gospel. Not only once, but at least twice. They went from door to door. We had gospel meetings. But that is the place so hard because no one will ever go to a place beside a church. And if they would go, they will be marked and despised. We have heard stories about people that came out for Roman Catholicism. Well, brothers and sisters, there was one young woman, and she was saved when she was in that church, but she realized she was not in the right place. When she got baptized, and she left the church, it is hard to believe that things that had happened to her. Her own family turned their back upon her. And I should say this like in Holland. And the young people here today, we were talking in the Bible reading about those that are brought in from the outside. And I know that our brother really meant that morning, those that were brought in from a place where they held wrong doctrine and already professed to be saved. But those that have been brought in from denominations, those that profess salvation, and especially in Holland, and I can look back in my own life, there is a price to be paid. When someone got saved and is baptized, or as they call baptized again, you see the whole family and all friends turn their back upon them. And believe me, when they come out to the assembly, they not come just to join a group of people. They come there because of conviction. They realize what it means to be gathered to the name of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we never have any problem with those that leave the denominations. Because when they come to the assembly, they know where they come from and why they come to. They come by conviction. Our problems usually start with those that are brought up in the assembly. And I've often thought about it. What the Apostle Paul said, from your own selves, man will arise. And I believe that's where the danger is in. Young people today, they don't value the place that God has brought them into. Like I said before, when I realized the assembly was the place that God wanted us to be, I thought for myself, well, everyone should know. And I thought for myself, my, this is the place, as it were, in heaven on earth. I found later, of course, it wasn't like that. But nevertheless, it was very precious to us. But I believe that some of the younger people, and in Holland the same way, those who have come out from assemblies that have existed for a longer time, you see what has happened is, they don't see the value of being gathered to the name of the Lord. That's what the problem is. Now, on the other hand, I want to put it this way. What we have great need of in Holland, I'm sure here as well, is a place where those that take care of the flock have a real interest. That's what we need today. Not only to tell what is the truth, but to hold the truth with love. Not so long ago, I met a young man, and that's here in Canada. And he told me this. He said, you know, he went to a place, to an assembly, and someone had encouraged him to go there. He said he went for at least 4 months. But he said, well, I know I should be there. He said, every time I get there, I feel like a stranger. And that's sad to hear. But what he really meant was, it seems like they have their group together, and it is so hard to get amongst them. Brother and sister, how good it is when we can show hospitality in the assembly. Show kindness and love to those that come for a visit. And that's what we try to bring before the Christians in Holland. When a stranger come out, show hospitality. Be kind to them. Make them feel at home. While they might see the gathering out, that doesn't mean sometimes that if they kind of feel they're not one of them, it's hard sometimes to stay. I thank God the place where I was brought to, there was real love. I didn't understand everything about being gathered out. I didn't have all the church truth. But you know, there was one thing that spoke to me. There was love amongst the brethren. And when I came to the assembly, I thank God there was an interest shown in my soul. Not that I wasn't saved, I was saved. But you know, they helped me in kindness to show me what was the truth. And I think that's what we have great need of even today. So when it comes to the work in Holland, thank God, God is still working. Not that souls are getting saved, but God is still working another way. Contacts have been made. The assemblies are going on. Those that are the younger ones, we see them grown, and we trust in the near future that the Lord might come in and make his arm there, that you might see souls saved. We get the odd ones coming out to the gospel meetings, but mainly those are contacts from the Christians in Ridderkerk. Now, I should say this. Brother Swan is working in Dadenspa, where he has been living for all the years that he has been there, about 14 years. There is another brother, Brother Klopp from Richmond. And I should not forget him, because I feel he's a faithful brother. He's not directly a full-time work, but he's faithful. He is unemployed because the unemployment in Holland is very high. But he spends his time in going from door to door with gospel tracts. He has a heart for the saints. And thank God he has a few contacts now in the place that he is living. And they have a Bible reading there every week and a prayer meeting. So see, God is blessing in that way as well. Remember, Brother Klopp, in what he lives close to Amsterdam, that the Lord might bless his labor there. Remember us in prayer in Ridderkerk. And then I would say there's a small assembly in Amsterdam, a big city, and yet there's only about 9-inch fellowship. I don't know why, but it's very difficult for those Christians there. And the other hand is, I believe they have little teaching, but pray for them. I pray for the work in Holland.